I think there's a real schism at the heart of the talks in Nairobi. And I think for a lot of the rebel groups and opposition groups who are participating, this really is a chance to reopen Araxis, the peace agreement that led to the end of the South Sudanese Civil War in 2018, and talk about and really think through things like the constitution and security sector reform. But for the government, I think the baseline is that the peace agreement is unalterable. And what fundamentally they want to do is to bring in the rebel groups back into government on the terms of the already existing agreement. But for the rebel groups, they look to Juba and they say, well, Olon is under house arrest. Mashar can't leave Juba. Why should we agree to an agreement that would just make us prisoners and trapped within a regime in which the government and Salva Kiir dominates?
And there are groups that are not at the talks as well.
That's right. So Cirilo's NAS, the National Salvation Front, has refused to participate because they're worried about their security concerns. As we know, in Nairobi, there have been historically, including last year, a series of Kenyan government-facilitated abductions of opposition figures and activists from Nairobi, the Kenyan capital. However, I think those security concerns are misplaced. Kenyan President William Ruto, who has invested so much in these talks and made them so public, that it's very unlikely that there'll be the facilitation by the Kenyan government of abductions or assassinations in the Kenyan capital at present.
I see. And from the optics that came out on the first day of the talks with opposition leaders such as Pagana Mum, Paul Malong and others, all the smiles, the warm handshakes, it seemed to many that they might be amenable to whatever President Kiir is going to put on the table and fall in line. From what you have observed and gathered at the talks and about the talks, what is your assessment of that?
I think that's a very complicated question, Nabil. I think in these first running up to like 3 weeks now, everyone is looking for the price that the different rebel leaders will exact or demand, and the price that the government is willing to pay. And partly, I think one of the problems that Salva has is that the country is in the throes of an absolute economic catastrophe, from rampant inflation to the doubling or tripling of the price of basic commodities to the breakdown of the major oil pipeline sending oil north to Port Sudan. And in this case, President Kiir really needs some good news. And these talks might precisely be the occasion for that good news. And I think another possibility is that though the rhetoric from the government is, of course, that they want elections in December 2024. There's been very little done to establish elections. We have a very short amount of time to do so, and there's almost no money to do so. And bringing in rebel groups would allow the government, rhetorically, to say that the elections need to be extended and delayed once again to deal with these rebel groups coming into government. Now, I think on the part of the rebel groups, there's also a real schism. I think for parts of the political class, for people like Pagana Mum, there's a real desire to reopen the peace agreement and to say the peace agreement is not answering the fundamental questions that are before us in South Sudan. But I think for some of the smaller rebel groups, the question is, what's the best price we can get to join the government coalition? And so as in Rome, one of the dangers of these talks is that the opposition won't remain unified, but it will instead be divided by the government, as it has so expertly done with so many opposition groups since the signing of the peace agreement in 2018.
I'm glad you brought up the elections schedule for December. You might have followed what happened at the Equatorial endorsement of President Salva Kiir 3 days ago or so, where he reiterated that his government is determined to hold elections, but said he blamed international partners and people here in the West for sowing doubt about his government's ability or seriousness to carry out elections, but said we encourage inter-party dialogue. Like, he seems to be saying, you know, two things, trying to leave that door open of possible extension or something like that while reiterating his commitment. My question is, what do you see these talks achieving with upcoming elections in mind?
I think we have to say that's radically unclear. 3 weeks into the talks, there are at the moment a discussion over the last couple of days about the constitutional process and the positions, the gap between many opposition members and the government is very wide. And it's not clear that that gap can be easily closed. So I think Salva is playing a very clever game. I think he knows that he cannot, without some sort of external reasoning, ask for another extension. I think it looks very bad in the eyes of the international community and also in terms of the people of South Sudan. But if he can engineer a situation in which there needs, unfortunately, to be an extension, then I think he would take it. And I think not just Salva, who seems very set on these elections, but many members of his ruling coalition who are wary that they might lose their seats in the case of an election. And I think that's definitely the case for the SPLM-IO, who at the one level are asking for the full implementation of the agreement before elections. That's also a rhetorical rod in order to delay elections, because they know in the case of elections, they're likely to be annihilated in the political sense.